Agi
Good evening to everyone. This is, am I on? Can you hear me at the back? Okay, good. So this is our first class of 2007. So 2017, and so I just want to say Tashi Dele and Happy New Year to everyone, and that it's good to be back and to see everyone. And we'll start tonight continuing from where we were in the past. So tonight, of course, we're going to have a teaching on the Buddha Dhamma. So the Buddha Dhamma is something that is very rare and very precious, and is something that is difficult to actually encounter. And so, like any, for example, a substance that is very rare, one would tend to see this as being something quite precious. So in the same way, the Buddha Dhamma is something that we should consider to be very precious. And because of the rarity and the difficulty to meet it, we start all teachings by offering a mandala so as to generate merit, so as to create the causes to be able to receive a teaching, to meet the Dhamma and receive teachings. So that the rarity and the preciousness of the Buddha Dhamma and is something that we are all familiar with, and the reason for offering a mandala is something that everyone here is familiar with. But I think it's good to remind ourselves of it, because now we're starting the new year and we need to set a good and stable motivation, certainly at the start of the year, but before every class. So we come here to hear the teachings on the Buddha Dhamma, and we should generate this motivation that we come to receive these teachings so as to attain the state of Buddhahood in order to be able to free all sentient beings from their current state of suffering. So with this motivation, we come here to receive these teachings. We started, and before tonight, before we had the mandala offering, we had the verse of refuge. So that verse of refuge has two parts. The first part is where one goes to refuge to the three jewels. So here we're making the commitment that we go to refuge to the Buddha and the Buddha Dharma until we attain enlightenment, and we will only go for refuge to the Buddha and the Buddha Dharma until we have attained the state of enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. Then the second two lines of that four-line verse, this is about the generation of bodhicitta. So here we were citing this refuge verse and generating bodhicitta. So we're making the commitment now in the second part of the verse that in order to attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, I will engage in the activities of a bodhisattva. And to do that, I need to generate bodhicitta. So this refuge verse that we recite before we offer the mandala is of particular importance. After we offer the mandala is of particular importance because it includes both going for refuge as well as the generation of bodhicitta.
Lamringi lama tumba sanyu chumde nimene kyubi keda Lamringi lama chaza yue sambo re sanyi
Nyamin ke song, deni ke Nyamin ke song
Lamringi lama Tangazu mandi pudu kapla Ya puye ki Yangazu chik Puse mi chiko rwa de Tumba sanyi de la Tumba sanyu chumde de Andi yiko la Ano sosu ke da Bene ngazu Yiram na Ano chanshu senpa sanyi da Chanshu senpa da Ano ngazu ke lama And And the member Nagi Jella Karakara Yahudi Chazan Dinan Yusamje. And Suzuki and Suzuki Yamana Sashi Kiwiza or Karina, Chazanche, and Suzuki Luda, Major Karina, a previous that premature Huey is the previous and became Mavachi and Manipu. Then she chose you to do another. The name Prina Dangi and Ma Sanyu Jimden, the Kuran, Guni Ma, Sonji, Lumrimdi, and Yamlin Chigis, Yamlin Chin, Tajin, but Chigis, and Biggie. That's some of the generic Jazz Mandu Future Dichiwara.
When we offer the mandala, we visualize before ourselves the founder teacher of Buddha Shakyamuni, as well as our own meditational deities, all the other Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and our own personal teachers. So included within all of this will be all the various teachers of the Lamrim lineages. So we visualize them before us, and we put our hands together in the mudra of offering, or the gesture of offering a mandala. So when we put our hands together in this manner, we visualize this offering that we're making to the Buddha and all the lineage lamas and our own teachers and yidams and the like. And so the offerings that we are visualizing will be all objects of beauty in our world and in the God realm. So beautiful flowers, ponds of beautiful clear water, and everything that we consider to be most beautiful in both our realm as well as in the God realms, we offer this to the refuge field. Then moreover, we offer all of the possessions that are considered to be of great beauty and great value, we offer as well. And then on a personal level, we offer our own resources, we offer our very body, our very life, we offer our own roots of virtue that we ourselves have accumulated in the past. So all of this we imagine before us, an offering to the Buddha and the Buddha's entourage. And we make this offering so as to generate the merit to be able to receive these teachings for the benefit of all sentient beings to fulfill the motivation we generated in the refuge verse. So for our teachings, we should have this strong motivation to receive these teachings so as to be able to lead all beings from their current suffering state to the state of Buddhahood. And for ourselves to be able to do that, we ourselves need to attain the state of Buddhahood. So that's the motivation that we all, myself included, need to generate to receive these teachings. So in brief, we need to generate, all of us, we need to generate an altruistic motivation. So we've been looking at this Lama Rim text now for quite some time, for a year now we've been looking at this Lama Rim text. And so last time, where did we come up to in the text? So just to remind ourselves, we're in the chapter on cause and effect, and we have been looking at most recently at the 10 virtuous actions. So the three of the body, the four virtuous actions of speech, and then the three of the mind. And so we looked at those 10 virtuous actions. Then after that, we looked at the results that come, the results that come from engaging in virtue. You remember that was divided into the fully ripened result, the causally concordant result, the environmental result, and the proliferating result. So those were the four results that the text presented, that the virtue that we accumulate will ripen as. So that's as far as we came to last time. So tonight we're going to continue with the text. So we're starting with the outline in the middle of page 118. They're all the determining quality of actions. So here the text starts by reminding us that all happiness and all suffering that one experiences or encounters, this all comes from karma that we have accumulated. One is born within samsara, whether it is at the very highest level of the formless realm, this peak of cyclic existence, or anywhere down through the various levels of the formless realm and the form realm, through the various levels of the desire realm, right to the very worst suffering hell realm. Wherever one is born within that, every experience of samsaric happiness, every experience of suffering that one has, comes from karma that one has accumulated.
내가 누가 될래야 남자라 말아서 누가 참아라 인구래세 나 누가 가시네 안에 차베 누가 조마도 나야 나 차네 누가 용해다 가시네네 지게 차 마차바 마차베네 조도비 누가 조도 누가 가시네 지 되네게 수포 마다 되네게 차베 누가 대 가시네 아니 가시네 수부 대보에나 셈 마치베 누가 대 누가 될래야 참아라 남자 문제와 누가 돼 휴치쇼 망부 쉬우 중고래스 And did it, Chazan, the Sosa Rangi, Migue, Le, Shuk, Chechung, Ongi, Yungu, or is
it? The sufferings that that beings encounter, there's an innumerable variety of sufferings that beings encounter, whether it's cold, whether it's hunger, and those who may not have such sufferings, they may suffer from physical illness, or others who are healthy may suffer from mental illness, etc. There's a tremendous variety of suffering experiences that beings experience throughout the realms. And all of these come about in dependence on the negative karma that one has accumulated.
Then dewa dila yang dewa, ane kasi ne dewa chung chung ro, kasi ne dewa chenpo sa, na dewa la yang da, deji dila mitawa mungu ro, kasi la deji pe yaku yuye, chasang, kasi la yang lu ki dewa yana, sem ki dewa me tegen, sem ki dewa yana lu ki dewa me tegen, ane, dene ki dewa dila yang, ane namda mungu, dewa shuk che chung mungu yung go res, And the Niki Deva, Devi, Deva, Yungo, Dinu Shuchi, and Dia, and Kalji Resident, Unkorongi, Ju, Gavi, Le, Top Chichung, only Gores.
And then, similarly, beings, of course, do experience samsaric happiness. And as with the suffering that we experience, there's also a tremendous variety of happinesses or types of happinesses that beings encounter. So some beings will experience great happiness, some, well, maybe less frequent. And happiness can be experienced on a physical level, it can be experienced on a mental level, and some beings will experience only, or not so much perhaps mental happiness, but maybe physically they'll be physically well and the like, or it could be the opposite. So again, here there's this tremendous variety, and this variety comes from the tremendous variety of karmic causes that have been accumulated, as well as the various levels of strength of those causes. So whether the ripening results is on the side of suffering or of happiness, then this is comes from the varieties and the various strengths as well of the karmic causes that have been accumulated.
Nana Tamje and Gewada and Gewada to watch as they lay let in the Jew Lady Tiburis, Jura de Shigd was, the Jura Lukungarius, Jura Shen and Jimjingo Ayomar was, that is Lumum Suma Lama de Sigurwa, Jena Kusan Lamakoran, Jerongi, Suna de Jewish Ligurwada, Ne Gewada to watch as I lay Gerashin Lelet in the Jew Lagd was, and the Jura Kungarius, Jura Shen and Jimmy Debango Ayomar was. That Jewish Lidwa, near the Kokalos, Narangi, the Taras Nisha Shavamatis, Donalo Sun, the Sajin Sun, Dodin Alla Carson, Dodi Leja Bassas, you are Dina Carson Jason, Lijan Namji Tiduni, Lenam, and Lenam, Nimber Tubus Sons, Tubasan Yujim Nendigi, Lujan, and the same Jesse, same Jen Tamjigi, Tidu Kanishi, Leda Dine, Juma Yimbadi.
Then the author of the text, Pachol Rinpoche, he wants to make clear that this presentation on the law of causality, which is something that now we will all have come to understand, that this is not something that he's just made up. It's not his own personal view. So now he's going to start with the establishing of the presentation that he's already given. So he will establish the the accuracy or the validity, rather, the validity of the presentation through a variety of quotations. So the first one is from a sutra called the Sutra of 100 Actions. The joys and sorrows of beings all come from their actions, said the Buddha. So here we can see this is it's a sutra, it's a quote from the Buddha. So this is being presented so as to establish the validity of what Pato Rinpoche has written. And he goes on to, and the quote goes on to say, the diversity of actions creates the diversity of beings and impels their diverse wanderings. Vast indeed is this net of actions. So here the Buddha is saying exactly the same as we've already had presented tonight, that all the variety of types, various types of happiness and the various suffering experiences we experience all come from the various kinds of karma that we've accumulated, as well as their varying strengths.
Is that Legi Tower?
This last line, vast indeed is this net of actions. So actions is karma, so we could say the net of karma. So all sentient beings who are all samsaric beings are trapped within this net of karma, of karmic actions. And they will, and we will all remain trapped within this net of karmic actions until we manage to cultivate the antidote. And if we cultivate the antidote to this net of karma, we will finally be able to be free of this karmic net that has been trapped us since beginning this time. So therefore, we need to engage in this method of cultivating the antidote so as to become free of this net of actions. When the time of death comes, then no matter how much how powerful one has been throughout one's life, how wealthy one has been, the time of death will still come for such a person. And when the time of death comes, one's vast store of possessions that one may have accumulated are of no use. One cannot take them with you to one's future life. And similarly, if one had a tremendous amount of power, one cannot utilize one's power at the time of death to delay the time of death. When the time of death has come, everyone has to die. One's loved ones can't help one's servants that one has maybe cared for one and helped one throughout one's life. They also can't help. They can't push away or delay death at all. So one's resources and one's power and one's loved ones, none of them can help one at the time of death.
Mm. Tanyamdi wanzu shidi che dhaya de karas na gyawa na gyawa sa na gyawa kya yore, diwa sa na diwa kya yore, jata gyawa na diwa nyi digi, nanzu liu yo ma re, kao chove na nyamdi jen den yungo re si. Andi yi che yowa zang, ana maho pa na, di nyi gi ndibu, gyawa na dunga nyua de cha go re si.
When the, so then at the time of death, what does one take with oneself? And that is the karmic potencies that one has accumulated throughout one's life. So whatever virtue one has accumulated throughout one's life, that is what we can take with us to our next rebirth. Likewise, whatever non-virtue we've accumulated throughout our life, that potency is what we will also take with us to our next life. So in other words, wherever we travel to, wherever we are going to be reborn, we will take whatever karmic potencies we've accumulated throughout that life, we will take with us to our next rebirth.
Longe Zadan, Sienam, Chimita, Yibo Tane, Gane, Garjo Yang, Lenin Timashin to Chistangs, Sedan, Disungores.
So, can I just read the verse at the top of page 119? When the moment comes to leave, O King, neither possessions, friends, nor family can follow. But wherever beings come from, wherever they go, their actions follow them like their own shadow. And so, this is also from a sutra, so it's also from the Buddha.
Jadi dandalah kerusi golasan yang dijual naji re, kerusi yang sosiologi je, jualan jual cembah dan orang jual cembah dan ni 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 tu mampu jual mampu sosiologi apa ini ya, tapi si jodoh, ane orang jual di je, cakap mana ane ni ni tu di je dan jual kan dia sih nak cerai apa macam, ane ni masa tu, gahar jual mana tu lagi jimat sedari kehwa dan miki rasa sebab kiri ni bodi.
At the time of death, whatever one wealth one has accumulated, or whatever power one has enjoyed in one's life, as well as one's loved ones and one's staff and servants and the like, none of them can we take to our next life. All we can take is the virtue and the non-virtue that we have accumulated in this life. So wherever one is going to be reborn, whether it's in a heaven as a human being or in the hell realms, one's virtue and non-virtue follows one like a shadow to our next rebirth.
So a
question could arise here. So someone who in this life, if they have abundant resources, they perhaps are very wealthy and the like, and they also enjoy great status and power. So is this just something that can be enjoyed in this life, or is this something that could help with the attainment of liberation and enlightenment?
So,
at the time of death, no matter who someone is, how famous, how powerful, how wealthy they are, then the power and the resources they've enjoyed in their life, they cannot take them with to the next rebirth. However, if they have used them well in their life, then that potency that they have accumulated through utilizing their power in a particular way or using the resources in a particular way, that potency will go with them to their next life.
If this person
of great power and wealth, when the time of death comes, that, as we've said, this power is not something they can take with them to their next life or delay their death. However, if they used their power wisely during their life and they helped bring harmony between people, helped to calm arguments and to pacify conflicts and the like. And in other words, if they've used their power and their influence in a way to be of benefit to others, then from this they would have accumulated virtue. And this, the potency of this virtue, this is something from their power and their ability that they had in their life that they will be taking with them to their next rebirth. Similarly, if this person during their life they use their power and their influence in a negative way, they scold to people, they criticize people, they physically harm people, and they cause difficulties in the lives of others. If they use their power and their influence over others in this way, of course they created non-virtue. And those unwholesome karmic seeds, those unwholesome potencies, that will go with them too to their next life. So therefore, those who have power and influence, how one uses it, in other words, the motivation under which one uses the influence that we have on others, or maybe the power that one has over others, that will determine whether one is accumulating virtue or non-virtue. And that is what will accompany us to our next life.
In terms of wealth, as
we heard earlier, no one can take the wealth that one has in this life with us to a future rebirth. So here, if a person has used their wealth wisely during their life, so with a good motivation of altruism, a motivation of wanting to benefit others, one has engaged in acts of charity, such as helping people in poverty, helping others achieve education, making offerings to the three jewels and the like. If one engages in such acts, one will accumulate a huge store of virtue. And if one's motivation is one that's in accordance with the Buddha Dharma, for example, of wanting to relieve all beings of suffering, therefore engage in acts of charity so as to be able to lead beings to enlightenment, then of course one will accumulate a huge store of virtue. And this store of virtue, which comes from one's wealth, is what will accompany us to a future rebirth. And then the converse is equally true. If one uses whatever wealth one has just for one's own benefit and possibly generates great pride in one's great possessions and resources and bank balance, and not only is one proud about it, but the way that one got one's wealth was through cheating and deceiving others and taking advantage of others, then one, whilst maybe in this life, enjoyed great comfort and resources, and one will have accumulated a tremendous amount of non-virtue in both the accumulation of this wealth as well as the use of this wealth. And so this non-virtue that has come from one's the usage and accumulation of one's wealth, this is what will accompany us to our next life. Wherever we end up being born, this non-virtue that we accumulated will accompany us. So how one uses one's resources can either lead to great benefit coming if one uses them in a faultless way. However, if one uses one's resources in a way that strengthens the afflictions, such as pride and selfishness and the like, then great non-virtue can come. And so whatever the results one accumulates from the usage and the accumulation of one's virtue, this is what will, of the accumulation of one's wealth, this is what will accompany us to our next life. So if we condense all of the bodhisattva practices, they can be condensed in the briefest way into the six perfections. So the first, as we know, is that of generosity. And we've been talking about this now, and then generosity is followed with ethical conduct and patience, joyous perseverance, fifthly, concentration, and lastly, wisdom, the correct view. So if we condense the bodhisattva practices, we can condense them all into these six perfections.
Mm-hmm. 生就学了吧，你的金巴塞的我那地来过了，是咱地样的，也都巩固了，真的。但几千人也没教我当，那工作的教不呀当，没钱的罗钱呀当，平白去平白去教我几年，几年才别，你什么的样的样的样的样的，我就什么当呢？当的先把，现在讲巩巴塞讲过了吧。
In its essence, the first of these perfections, the perfection of generosity, in its essence, is the cultivation of the wish to help others, to cultivate this wish to benefit others, this wish to practice generosity to help others. So again, in its essence, this practice of generosity is the cultivation of a mind, the mind of wanting to give to others. So that mind of wanting to give to others, that is something that we in meditation should cultivate repeatedly, because this mind of wanting to give to others, this is the essence of the practice of generosity, or the practice of the perfection of generosity.
ကာသမကျေလေဂျူနီဘိုဂျေမေဝါချာရောမာရက်စ်ရောဒဲမေဝါမေဝါမေဝါချာရောမာရက်စ်ဒါကျလာလမဆုံငါဇေဘီဂျီမာတာဂျူနီဘိုချာရှင်နခေါ်ထလာတော်မေဝါဆန်ဂျူနီမေဝါချာကျော်ရောဝါအော်ဒီနာရှင်ဒါမိဂေဝါကနစာဝေနဆိုဆူဂီဒေညင်ဘိုခုံချေမေဝါဆွနမေဝါချာရောရက်စ်ဒီညင်ဘိုခုံချေမေဝါမညင်ဘိုမခုံဘရှာရှာဝေနခေါ်ကာသမကျေလေဂျူနီဘိုဂျေမေဝါချာရောရက်စ်နဒီရောမာရက်စ်ဂျေနမေဝါချာရောမာရက်စ်န
So if you look thus far at how all the experiences, whether they're welcome, happy experiences or unwelcome, suffering experiences, these all come about in dependence on causes and conditions. So furthermore, these karmic causes that we've accumulated, whether they are wholesome or unwholesome, they don't go to waste. They're not like physical objects that we have that do depreciate and eventually they stop working or they go to waste. The karmic causes that we accumulate, they do not dissipate. So, for example, if one accumulates a non-virtuous karmic seeds, those karmic seeds will not dissipate. They will not, from their own side, just weaken and go away, unless an antidote is applied to those non-virtuous karmic seeds. They will not dissipate. They will remain as having the potency to ripen into a suffering experience. And the converse is also true with virtuous karmic seeds. So unless virtuous karmic seeds are destroyed by a mind of very powerful anger, then those virtuous karmic seeds will not naturally dissipate, will not naturally fade away into nothing. They will not be lost, but they will wait. They will be remain on our continuum, having the potency to ripen when meeting the required conditions. And what has just been said is shown in a verse here, from Lord Buddha, from a sutra of 100 actions. Even after 100 kalpas, beings' actions are never lost. When the conditions come together, their fruit will fully ripen. So what's being said here is quite clear, that whatever virtue or non-virtuous karmic seeds we accumulate, they will not naturally just dissipate or waste away into nothing. Even for 100 eons, for a huge length of time such as that, they will remain as a having the potency to ripen on our continuum. And as soon as they meet the required conditions, then they will ripen into either a happy experience or a suffering experience and the like.
That in it. Jisik duwa da inerimbochi zuyu leye saade Nga sala chombo shebi kaadien ki jima reji tawara mimoya Lucien daadang dure pangwa shin Soshin du la batse Nga hawa Nga yasi Dadi sikti ye
Then we come to the next verse. See this one. When the eagle soars up high above the earth, its shadow for the while is nowhere to be seen. Yet bird and shadow still are linked. So too are our actions. When conditions come together, their effects are clearly seen. So just maybe to say first, so we have here in the text when the eagle soars up, the word in the Tibetan is not so specific. It's a being that flies in the sky, and Genla said previously that usually when the Tibetans hear this verse, they would think of a vulture, not an eagle. So now he's been using the term vulture, but of course the example stays the same. So when a vulture is flying during the day, if it's not flying very high, if it's maybe just taken off, one will see that it has a shadow. But as soon as the vulture is going up and circling around at a great height, then one no longer sees its shadow. But this, of course, doesn't mean that the vulture's shadow has disappeared. It no longer has a shadow. Its shadow, of course, still exists. And you can see that when the vulture then comes down to land, it will, its shadow will be right with it once again. So this illustration shows how when the karma that we accumulate, whatever action, whether virtuous or non-virtuous, we engage in, accumulates karma. And these results we don't see immediately. But just because we're not seeing the results come about immediately, this doesn't mean that no result is to be experienced. So in the same way with the vulture flying high in the sky, the shadow is not seen. Likewise, whatever actions we engage in lead to the accumulation of karmic imprints. And these karmic imprints remain existent even if they are not immediately visible or manifest, or one can't observe them. However, as soon as the required causes and conditions come together, then that previously accumulated karmic imprint that has remained unseen for so long, this will ripen, and depending if the imprint was a virtuous one or a non-virtuous one, it will ripen into a happy or suffering result.
Yeah, अने घर संबोधन में दीपो कहते थे ना अने जिके कांडुआ इंगोर से ये दिनभर मिलवा से ये जिसे मुझे सोचो जाये जिको अति नगाल गया कांगाल की चीज मिलो ये मितु जैसे हो चार से शिकोर इन्हें ता नगाल या दुआ से क्या मिलो से ये दीपो चीने दुआ इंगोर से ये ताता छा मिलो से जाया अने आज कैसे दां जिके वा केजो कैसे केजो डूबते थे नहीं केजो डूबते हुए ना आज के केजो कैसे डूबने अने कैसे चीनी ना तो मंगबोरा ची ची ले ले कर दिया लम्बे माजू वादा नया था मंगबोरा जिन्हें यंगोर वादा चीज़ अंदर तभी केवल डूबने देवो यंगोर से दिया तंजे रेमिंडुस ये किसी नाकोंचोल मालम जगुए केवल ची संभव संगोची होते ना ले कर ना लम्बे जुगु मिंडु दुगा करने ना नया ना से मंगबो
So what's being presented here is something that's important that we come to understand and bear in mind, because when we observe the world around us, we certainly do see people who we could say maybe they don't lead the most wholesome of lives, but they may be always healthy, don't experience many problems, whatever they engage in seems to go very well, and they seem to go through life very well. But when we look at how they live their life, it is certainly maybe not such an ethical life. And we also observe the opposite. We see people who do live a virtuous life, they do live a wholesome life, but they encounter a lot of problems, perhaps severe illnesses, or they engage in a business venture, but it doesn't work out well, etc. And they seem to encounter a lot of problems, but yet they're good people. And so, if we don't know the law of the presentation on causality well, we may well generate doubt in it, because we see some people really acting in quite an unwholesome manner, but leading what appears to be a trouble-free life, and other people who are really good and decent people encountering gross difficulties again and again. So here it's important that we understand this presentation well, otherwise doubts about karma may well arise.
Dada, social and social assumption, Duma, social Chanya, Jibi, Diva Chanya, Sabi, Devuti, Jemami, Jemami, Dada, Devuti, Jema, Gudi, Devu, Jelmiere, Dada, social Karachena, and Jigalam, Gudi, and Super Jeta, Yubadi, and Jemami, Kawash, Sashi, Digi, Nuba, Devuti, Minje, Yungorwa, Jadi, Samundi, Mato, Dada Kate, Kawa, Duma, Jevan.
When we see someone who lives an unwholesome life, perhaps all they do is engage in negativity, but yet they're never ill, things seem to go well for them, whatever ventures they engage in seem to turn out well, etc. We need to understand that what they are experiencing in this life is the result of actions performed in previous lives. So them being healthy, their endeavors turning out well, these are results, and they come. These results come from causes accumulated in previous lives. Their unwholesome behavior in this life, this isn't ripening in this life, but those karmic seeds are being accumulated and stored, and they will be experienced in a future life.
See, Say to my Ganga Tigre, Mark, and we ငါလည်းကနေလေးကြောမာတယ်အနေငွေစားကြောမာတယ်ဒါငါလည်းဆရာတွေ့ရမှာဘူးသူကောင်းကင်းနေမင်းတို့စံလို့ရတယ်စံတာနှုတ်ရပါတယ်အင်းကဲဆင်းတဲ့ဒါတခေါ်တော့ဘေရှင်းတန်ရဲ့ငွေဒီညီမဖမ်းမိကစားရှိငွေရောဝါငွေစားရောဒါပူတရာရောဒါဒါပူဒီဒီဘေရှင်းတန်တဲ့ဆရာတွေ့ရတာကြောရဲ့ဖာဆိုတွေ့ရတာကြောရဲ့အနေကံကချေရောမှာပါဒါခေါ်တော့လက်ဒီနေကပလျာအနေခေါ်တော့လက်ကယူနေမာလဲပါချက်ကြောပဲနဲ့ ညမဖမ်းစာကျဲရစီဘတ်ဒေါ်လူကလေးဒေါ်လူကဒီနေစာဘမဲရောဒီကံကျဲရောဒါစိဒါဒီနေ့ကစံဒီနာရှင်ကြည့်ပါလေညမကေဝါစာရှာပါဒီဖမ်းမိမှုကျဲပါနာရှင်ကျဲဒါတဲ့ဆိုဆိုကစာမဆာပါနေမောင်းပါနာကံကျဲရောဒါစိဒါပူဒီကေအဲ့ဒီငွေစာလေကလေခေါ်တယ်လေကလေချင်းငွေစာခေါ်တယ်ဒီမဆာပါနေကံကျဲကြီးတဲ့စဲဒီဒီမရမီတို့လမ်းနာနိုရိုရှာကြောပါဒါစနေ
So with this explanation, we can understand how someone may work very hard in their life, but they remain poor. They struggle to have enough to eat. They struggle to pay the rent and the like, despite working very hard. So we can understand this experience if we think about the results from this life come from actions accrued in previous lives, and the actions engaged in this life, those results will come in future lives. So here we can also present an illustration of a child who has wealthy parents. So the child doesn't need to. This child may think, well, I have everything I need. I have somewhere nice to live. Whatever I want, I can have. I have sufficient to eat, and I can be entertained and the like. I really don't have any material hardship at all. Why do I need to go through the difficulty of working? I'll just live with my parents. So it's quite possible a child may think like this. However, there is, of course, the danger that at some point they will have consumed the wealth of their parents and they will no longer be able to live this life of comfort that they have been used to. So this can be this illustration can be likened to someone for whom things are going quite well in their life, and in fact they seem to encounter very few problems, and whatever they engage in goes well, etc. So such a person may just relax and enjoy the good virtue that the results of the good virtue they've accumulated in the past, and not engage in the further accumulation of virtue. But such a person should bear in mind that these previous accumulated good causes that they are experiencing now, they will be exhausted. So therefore, they do need to engage in the further accumulation of virtue. Now we come to a story near the bottom of page 119. So during the Buddha's life, a king called Virudaka, who was the king of Shravasti, he attacked the Buddha's clan, the Shakyas, and killed everyone within the city. And so the Buddha himself, of course, was not killed, but he at that time experienced a headache. So I think someone asked the Buddha, so why did you experience a headache at this time? So the Buddha replied, well, previously I accumulated the cause for that.
Mm-hmm. Dini sui ne, niya chenpo ni yu je, ju di ma sui wa je, takwa ji ki da xia ka le si. Na da xia di, chi lo dun je, ka xia di, da xia di, dini ko chu miya za, ka nga chi ki ruwa, gu kia pa sa chi ki ruwa. Pa sa jia piang tu, di ne ka su, da san yi jim nende, kia wang ama ni ma, da di ne ki, niya sui ki, mi chi ki, buu chi ki ya le si, buu ya le si. Se zang ko buu yin bi ka pula, an del ya, niya di pa sa jia di da xia ni, ye mo xio wa le si. Yemo xio wa le si. Se zang yemo xio wa du, Di gemo shiwa di koni kanga chia di gemo shiwa di ni di ki lian ba sa wa le si che san di jebu ma le min ji guan da wa le si.
So the Buddha then was asked, so what was this karmic cause that you accumulated so as now to experience a headache whilst your entire clan with the people that you're from they were all massacred. So the Buddha recounted that in a distant previous life, then the Sakya people were fishermen, and they caught and killed and sold a lot of fish. And so this created the karmic causes that they were to experience. But from his side, he once, when he was a child at the time, and he observed two large fishes that had been caught, and they weren't killed immediately, but rather whilst alive, they were tied to a post. So they died a very slow, agonizing death, because they weren't killed immediately, but they were suffering being outside of the water. And as a child, the Buddha saw the spectacle and laughed at what he was observing. So laughing at the agony of these two beings, he thereby accumulated the karmic seed that now has ripened as a headache.
Tapi mesti juga, anggur ya, dunia junie mebal ya, anggur tu suy, anggur logo mampu suy nasa, anggur ani le kanga le suy budus. Jadi mawam bana, anda kontrol ya, anda cikai, cik kontrol pa jalan suy tu ya ki, yang na asam begi ten samu kawal es. Kawal tu dene niari, anda kebo, anda niye kebo pa jesi, niye cembu cik kawal ni mal es. Niye cembu cik dia kau lumbu cili kawal ni mal es. Tapi niye mampu si kau jor wa, dia kontrol mami nala kawal ni. Then you want to get my kids here. They see that second media shaken out. They don't want to serve.
Then, at the time when this young child had later become the Buddha was laughing at these two fish that were dying. These two fish had the thought that we are being killed by these people, but we've actually done nothing to them, and yet they are killing us. In the future, we'll get our revenge on them. We will kill them when they haven't harmed us. And through the power of having this thought, then eventually these beings were reborn, and the one was reborn as the as King Virudaka, and the other as his minister. And then all the other fish that were killed became their army. And so then in this life, then they have, in a way that appears to be causeless, they have killed the entire Shakya clan. So without the Shakya clan in this life harming the king and his minister or their army, they have come about and killed them all. So this is the karmic result from that previous wish. So one may have a doubt at this point. Generally, when we think about the Buddha, we think about the Buddha as faultless. But here, this what once was a child has now become enlightened, has become a Buddha, but yet has experienced a headache. We may think that this is a little strange and have a doubt about this.
Jumnan di kulu di, ngan tu lusa cikgu cikgu ada, ngan le dia dah nyomong orang cikgu di kulu di dia dia. Sebab dia ni ane guanaya yore, ane 지게 갑자나 차요레 나야요레 나자다요레지 지나 디네인자 레다 녀모 오미 주위기 녀마 다들 코롱 레다 녀모 쳐다 빵 사월에디 코롱 그 풍보디 녀마 기왕함에 레다 녀모 오주 풍보레디요레 지나 나야요레 차요레 디 레다 아니야 곧 나와레세디 디스나 다디디시 송아디 에 제라마와도 도데 코롱 송바레 캠멘바디 디스나레
So in answer to this doubt that one may have that how can a Buddha, fully enlightened being, experience a headache? Well, if we think back to our classes last year on tenets, then we started that presentation with the what are called the lower tenets, those of the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika. So according to them, whilst a Buddha, a fully enlightened being, has abandoned all karma and afflictions, they still have an ordinary body that's the same as ours. So having an ordinary body, according to the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika, even a Buddha can experience a headache or illness, or the body can be harmed and the like. So this presentation, or this understanding of whether a Buddha can be harmed or not, or experience a headache or not, this is only according to the two lower tenets, those of the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika.
Sisanti ko mana na yang ko na yu tsui tuen paris. Kare sorosan ma duje dike liya. Le yi jebo, le ngamba sa sana di jebo di nyembo top kye che ma pangpa na ane keti yi na jebo di miya yor taas. Den na yung ure taas. Tsui tuen kore di na yu tsui tuen paris. Na me na yin topa che yorwa. Na na ki dusi na me na yorwa. Samsa yorwa ngas lega joda yob di. Na me na oma na ki dusi jaksu si gongo shi yorwa. Na yorwa na yu jaksu si yorwa. Di na sa yi di.
So amongst the presentation that we have here in the text is according to the lower tenets, but if we look at the presentation of the Mahayana tenets, such as the middle way school, so they would say a Buddha cannot experience a headache, but a Buddha may show the aspect of having a headache, or to put it in a more ordinary way, would pretend to have a headache, and would possibly do this because they would be showing that pretending that they have an ordinary body, a body that's the same as everyone else's, and therefore from time to time would need to show illness like everyone else has. But it's important to not get confused and think, oh, this is the same as we maybe do, where we phone into work and we pretend to be sick. No, the Buddha, of course, would be showing an illness for a different motivation.
ちなやまれさまれせてやろ。でねんざんがずき。だってからのごれでだんだんなれ、だんだんなやよまれ。てからいいたかれみどはせびけ、よんしぎるわ。ちなで、ルプテギ、ルプテソジギ、エイチェバマシンバイナ、ディノヤギにがよれ。ちなんずルプテゴロジョンチェサワンザ、ポディテバチンビゴドハディ。ディテバマンビギ、ニラジャダメニャンデダ。だかそれ。
And we may come across this kind of difference in a text quite often. So in terms of this present illustration, some texts like this one here will say the Buddha can become ill. Other texts will say the Buddha cannot experience illness. And so on the surface this is of course clearly contradictory, but if we have studied the various Buddhist philosophical tenets, then we will understand that either a particular text or a section of the text, like we have here, where the section of the text is according to the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika, or in another text where we see the opposite said, we will understand from our study of the Buddhist tenets that, oh, well, this is according, this presentation is according to the higher schools, those are the Chittamatrans or the Madhyamakas. So through having studied tenets, what previously would have seemed contradictory no longer will seem so.
That kanto ke le karasa wa ina di jebu di ta me mamim bardu me me to ani dus me wanza da kanto ke ta kewa kasa sa wana kiwe jebu di da me ba cha yo mar ke di ne mi ya si rin ba re si da mi ge wasa wa ne mi ge jebu di ya ane si da me to me re ina nyembo gom je me wa suna me ba cha yo ba inza an di ni ge inza ta kanto ke yema Migawa Karesa, you've been there, so to get some of that. That's some of the jam, but so sometimes also Migang to judge some of the jazz or one, jazz or ta. Then imagine by Najo Amadiniki Cheva to get some other Pesasha, no duration, and begin the Giovarike, Giovacine, that in Chinji, another, Dibi Lerasa, and Jimmy, some big Tamja Kelen, a chip. That in him, Kelen, that in Niki, and Dibati. Sanji, and to give us a dance between the Shagin, Sambigi, Nuk Devaki, and the Susugita, Chiki, Chashu Sam Gomba, and Tony Gomba, and the Negan, Menetan by another, Karachevina, do some Tavana, Nema Divaches, Nuba Chun 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 先来说这个
So we'll stop here for tonight. So it's around about the middle of page 120. And so let's just quickly recap at what we looked at tonight. So tonight, amongst other things, we spoke about how the karma that we accumulate will not naturally go to waste or dissipate or fade away and be forgotten. Whatever karma we accumulate, when it eventually meets the required causes and conditions, it will ripen. So, however, if one, for example, in terms of the non-virtuous karma that we have accumulated, if we apply an antidote to that, then it will weaken and it will eventually be eliminated completely. So here what one can do is and think about the non-virtues that one has accumulated in this life and perhaps non-virtues today, and we'll be aware that today that this particular negative act that I've done, well, it wasn't the only time I've done that in this life. I have done this negative act several times. And for sure, I would have done this in previous lives as well. And in thinking about the karmic results that will come from this negative act, one should generate strong regret for having done this. And having a mind of regret for these negativities that one has done, one makes the firm commitment to, as best as one can, to not engage in such acts or speech or thoughts again. And then one goes for refuge to the Buddha, because it's only through applying the Buddha's teachings that one will be able to change or away from engaging in such acts. And one generates bodhicitta, the mind of wanting to benefit others and lead them to a state of enlightenment. And with that now present, one engages in the antidote, whether it's a particular object of meditation or reciting or mani padme hum or making mandala offerings or whatever antidote one chooses. One then, through going through these four opponent powers, will reduce the strength of the non-virtuous karma that has been accumulated. And similarly, We also accumulate virtues, such as now, and what one should do in terms of the virtue that one has accumulated is recall the virtue that one has accumulated, and in a similar sequence to before, one should be aware that, well, this particular virtuous act this act or speech or thoughts that I engaged in, it wasn't the first time. I've done this actually many times in this life, and not only in this life, in previous lives. And this is something quite fantastic, that I have this path of virtue that I'm accumulating, and one should generate great joy in what that in the virtue that one has accumulated, and make a commitment to continue to do so. So in this way, the virtue that one has accumulated will strengthen and grow. And this form of meditation, of engaging in purification practice, as well as rejoicing in the virtue that we do, this is something that we all need to engage in repeatedly. So we'll next time we'll continue from with some stories from when the Buddha was was still a bodhisattva. So tonight, of course, was our first class of the year, and I've just recently, as you know, have come back from 2 months in India, and I had a wonderful time there. I didn't get ill. I didn't really encounter any obstacles, which is always welcome in India. And in fact, I was able to go on pilgrimage with my students, and I had the opportunity to go to Bodh Gaya and receive the Kalachakra teachings and initiation from His Holiness. And moreover, I was also able to meet with Lama Zopa Rinpoche while I was there. When I had the opportunity to meet Lama Zopa, he asked me a lot of questions about the Dharma Center and how things are going here, and what classes we are doing, and students coming and the like. So I told him the classes we've been having on the Wednesday night and on the weekends, etc., and the students that are coming here, and that from my side I'm really happy, and that things seem to be going well. And Lama Zopa was really very pleased, and from his side he also generated great joy in what is happening here in our Dharma Center. Coming here for teachings and hearing about the Dharma and thinking about the Dharma, we accumulate a great amount of virtue. And so Lama Zopa, of course, is aware of this. So from his side, he was very happy that we are accumulating virtue and accumulating the causes for enlightenment, and he rejoiced in this. And certainly that this is now something that we ourselves should also do, because we are the ones ourselves accumulating virtue through coming here and hearing the teachings and making effort to contemplate on the teachings and the like, and progress to enlightenment ourselves. So in this virtuous activity that we all are engaging in, we too should rejoice. So thank you very much. And so we'll finish here tonight, and if you have some questions, then maybe the next time please do ask.
Amen.